Welcome to Honey Darling, episode 3. This is a special episode because we delve into the original Star Wars trilogy, which for as long as I can remember has always been something that I loved and talked about for years. And we're on the cusp of a new generation of Star Wars movies coming out soon. This will be our podcast before the Force Awakens happens in a couple days, so you know everything will be changed after that. So this will be the one where we get to talk about the original one that touched our hearts so much when we were younger. And I'm your host, Trey Johnson, and this is your host,
Jess Kenyon.
So yeah, we just finished watching Return of the Jedi, and we watched all three of them.
We sure did.
We're going to try to cover all three of them, but we'll do it a little different than we did before. Like, we're not going to go through everything that happened, just like specific. I mean, you guys probably know what already happened, I'm sure. And if you haven't, then why are you listening to this? And if you haven't seen it, go watch it.
Go watch it right now.
But we'll just cover some of our memories and experiences of Star Wars. I did a little intro. Would you like to say something about the holy trilogy?
Just that it always meant so much to me, too, as a kid growing up. I have so many memories of watching it, and specific memories of, like, sitting down to marathon all of it. Star Wars is always, I feel like it's always been a part of me. So, I'm excited about our new generation of people who are going to get to see this. I mean, hopefully it's good. I think it's going to be. But yeah. It's great to be able to talk to kids who are like 9, mm-hmm. who love a thing that you also love.
Sure.
It's just so, it's such a gap bridger. It's super cool. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything else like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's for like how, yeah, for how long it's going on for, it's hard to say like what else would be. I mean, you couldn't say like Star Trek because that's not. It's kind of dead now. It's not what it was before, but I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to see something that, unless it was like Doctor Who or something like that, I guess.
And I think there are so many iterations of Star Trek that people are like, well, I love Enterprise. Well, I love Voyager. Well, I love the original. Like, it causes sure. more contention,
yeah.
I think, than bringing people together.
Sure. And Star Wars, well, for a while there, we only had those, well, we had only had those three movies for years, and then we got those other three movies that we talked about, which, you know, I was fine with because it just meant more Star Wars. So I was cool with that, you know. We only had three, and then we had 6. But
I do always like a lightsaber, so.
Yeah, lightsaber's great.
Had that going
probably for the it. Best. Probably the best, like, fake weapon ever made. If there's any weapon I would wish for in the fake world would be, like, the lightsaber, hands down.
In the fantasy world?
Yeah, you can cut through doors with that, you know.
You can.
You can do a lot of things. I mean, it's incredibly hazardous, and we'd probably end up cutting our own arms off if we did have one. But it would be really cool. It'd be what I'd want if they asked me, "What type of weapon would you want from Star Wars?" Would be that.
Oh well, for sure.
Do you remember? Do you remember when you first saw the original trilogy? Has it just been something that you always remember that you've seen?
No, I don't remember the first time. I don't remember the first time. It just always was a part of.
I remember like watching it for the first time. I mean, I don't know how old I was, but I remember little things. Like, I remember my mom explaining some things to me. Like, I remember her explaining me like that Vader like didn't die in the first one. He just like was lost in space for a bit.
Sure.
Like when he gets shot off into wherever he gets shot off into. I remember that, and I remember her talking about like, I remember the part in the bar when she. I remember, well, this is probably not when I first saw it, but I remember her telling me later that she thought it was, like, too bloody for kids, the part when the guy loses the arm in the bar.
Ooh, yeah.
At the canteen. I remember her telling, because she took my older sisters to see it in the theater, and she told me that when she saw that part, she thought that maybe it was a little too violent for them, you know?
Sure.
Because in 77, they were, like, single digits, I think.
Sure.
Because my oldest sister's like 10 years older than me, and the other one's 8 years, I believe. So, in 77, I wasn't born yet, but,
right.
You know.
Me neither.
They'd be, like, pretty young. But Empire Strikes Back, my own personal favorite, and the one I think is the best, came out 2 days after my birthday. Came out on May 21st, so I remember that.
Sure.
That was kind of a pretty big deal. And all the Star Wars after that came out on the 19th.
I think I was in the womb.
Yeah. I was out for 2 days, and then Empire Strikes Back.
I was in utero.
I remember being emotionally tied to the characters when I was a kid. My mom made me a Han Solo vest when I was in grade school, which was really cool.
And you still have it?
And I still have it. It's really tiny. I mean, it could maybe fit around my arm.
It's super cute.
She also made me a Jedi robe for my Darth Vader speech that I gave in junior high. We had a biography speech that could be about make-believe characters, so I did Darth Vader one, so I didn't have to do any research.
Yeah, you could just watch the movies and call it research.
Yeah, but she made a gray robe, and this was pre-prequel, so I was just making up stuff about it, you know, trying to figure out what Anakin was. And I think this is before they even announced that they were going to make prequels. But, yeah, she made a gray robe, which you don't really see, but she made it off of a figure.
A toy,
that,
right?
You got from, like, yeah, from, like, box tops or proof of purchase or something you send in, and it was I think they re-released it later as on an actual card, but mine came in a little white box that had like nothing on it, and it was a little old Anakin from the original Blue Ghost, and she just looked at that figure and she's like and then just put it together from that.
Amazing.
So, you know, I think, and she had made like a death's hood type thing, and I think she kind of got it from that also and just altered it, but it's pretty cool. Which I will wear to the premiere on Thursday, so that'll be fun. So I'm sure there'll be other people wearing Jedi robes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do my Leia buns, and I can wear my I have a white turtleneck sweater thing.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So, like, let's talk about the first movie, the very first movie, A New Hope. Any particular scenes that are most memorable to you, or introductions of characters, or anything? Let's just get right in there, into the deep space of Star Wars.
What I actually always thought was interesting about it was that it was called A New Hope.
Well, you know, it wasn't originally called that, right? They added it later.
It was just called Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the 70s when it came out, it was called Star Wars, and they put the chapter number later.
Yeah.
The episode 4, like originally just said Star Wars.
But for me,
the crawl.
It has always been called A New Hope.
Yeah, they added, in my lifetime. Added that title later. But when I was in high school, when I was like super, well, I was still a Star Wars nerd, but we were always like, oh no, it's New Hope. Call it A New Hope. You know, not Star Wars, like the first one. It's called A New Hope.
Yeah.
We always say that. But, yeah. What are your thoughts on the scenes from that movie?
On A New
Hope?
Most
memorable scenes of A New Hope, aside from the name A New Hope.
Do you have one in your pocket?
I mean, there's plenty. I mean, the cantina scene was a big deal. With all the different aliens and all that. It's the introduction of Solo. And, you know, watching... I always thought it was cool that Han Solo shot first. I mean, you said that you don't think that's that big of a deal. Or the whole thing about adding that extra Greedo stuff.
That's not what I said.
Well, what did you say?
Well, what I said was, I asked a question. Is it a big deal?
I mean, it is to people who originally saw the movie.
Sure.
Because they expect him to... I don't know. I mean, there was like a more recent interview with Lucas where he was saying that...
Han didn't shoot first.
Well, he always said he didn't shoot first. But yeah, he was like... He's like, oh, he's like John Wayne. He waits for the guy to shoot him before he shoots back. But it just looked goofy, you know? And he obviously shot it like that already. He should have left it.
You like that he shot first.
Yeah.
You thought it made him seem like a badass.
Yeah, well, Greedo like puts a gun to his chest,
well,
like, right when he meets him.
Definitely gonna kill him.
And he's like, you know, Uta Solo, whatever. Like he says not so fast Solo or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he already has a gun to his chest, and he's planning on killing him, or doing whatever, you know, he taking him to Jabba. So, I felt like he was just defending himself, and he killed him because he's a bounty hunter, and he knew that he was gonna run off with him.
He was gonna be dead if he didn't kill him. Sure.
One thing before I forget, we'll jump to the end of the movie for a second. In our episode 2 and 3 prequel podcast, I don't feel like I gave enough love to Chewbacca's appearance in that. He
shows up there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we just mentioned that he was in there and he was like 500 years old in the original trilogy, but we didn't mention his like time with Yoda and all that. But you know, I almost feel like what they did at the end of the movie, which always bugged me, was the whole fact that Chewie doesn't get a medal. The other people get a medal. I guess he gets like a. I guess he gets shampooed and combed or whatever, but he doesn't. He doesn't get a medal. I mean, they brush him. They brush his fur out, and he looks real nice. Like him and 3PO look real nice. They get waxed or whatever, but.
Well, even if you remember, just skipping way ahead for 1 second, if you remember in Return of the Jedi, when C-3PO is telling the story so far to all the Ewoks,
yeah,
he talks about Han Solo, and he does not talk about Chewbacca. Even Chewbacca goes like, hey.
No,
he's
yeah.
like, oh, Han Solo. Chewbacca,
oh, yeah.
the fuck?
Yeah.
And Chewbacca, like, raises his arm up like, what?
He doesn't mention,
what the fuck? What about me?
He doesn't mention Chewbacca in that.
No, he doesn't.
I noticed that story really skipped around because I heard like, well, because you know it's like Ewok speak mixed with like names of
English.
Things, you
yeah.
know. So it's like
Cloud City.
So he's like Dido Michidu Millennium Falcon, you know, like it's like
yeah.
It's like if you ever watched like Telefutura or something, and it's like a, and it's like a McDonald's commercial. It's like you know. Like hola, McDonald's, you know, like, and you hear Spanish,
yeah.
and then you hear like whatever brand they're trying to sell that's the same, you know, similar to that. But I noticed it jumped around. It's like he's like Obi-Wan, and then he's like Death Star, and then he's like Millennium Falcon and Bespin. So I guess he skipped like, well, he says Cloud City, not Bespin, but
yeah.
I guess he skipped like the Hoth and whatever else. I don't know.
Sure,
and I'm not sure
Hoth
about that.
Hoth was a dark time.
Yeah,
I want to bring it up.
Do you remember the old? Do you remember the old commercials for the THX version of the original trilogy, like the VHS one, the remastered one, the first remastered one?
I have that one. Is that the one I have?
It's like the gold. It was like gold and silver.
Oh
I
no,
think.
I have the
VHS like 3-pack.
I have the original VHS 3-pack, the untouched.
No, that one's untouched too.
Oh,
this
okay.
was before. This was just the THX remastered. They just made the sound better.
The sound.
That's all they did.
Sound.
It came
sound,
out right before.
Good.
It came out right before the theatrical movie, before they re-released it. When they re-released it, they started adding shit. That's when they put in all the extra stuff.
Right.
Was when it was back in the theater.
I just knew I was going to hold on to my original 3-pack.
But I don't think.
Didn't want anything to be different.
I don't remember if I bought the. THX one or not, but there was a commercial for that, and the commercial was 3PO telling that story, and that was the commercial.
Oh no!
And it was like this. It was like this story has lasted for however long.
Oh,
and
actually,
it's
I do
important,
remember that.
And that's why you should get it.
Yeah,
yeah, they were playing on that. They did a similar commercial for Revenge of the Sith, where they just showed the part with Obi-Wan from Episode 4, where he just talks about Vader. He just talks about Vader and his father to Luke and all that, you know. You know
yeah.
what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Do you remember that Episode 3 commercial that they did? There was a commercial for the movie, like as it was coming out, they did they just showed the part when they first meet Obi-Wan, he gives Luke the lightsaber. And he says, like, before the dark times.
Oh, yes, I do.
The Jedi.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the preview for Episode 3. I remember that. But, yeah, we get introductions of all the main people. We get, there's that part where Luke, like, watches the sunset, you know, thinking that he's trapped on that planet.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was a pretty powerful part.
Beautiful sunset.
He was trying to go to the Tashi station.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. I mean, that could be code for anything, right? The Tashi Station, I mean, power converters, you know. I don't know what they do, but that's where he's going to go.
They convert power.
I mean, that could be a drink in Star Wars. Well, we don't even know. Pick up some power converters.
It could be a slang. Yeah. Maybe it means hookers.
Maybe. There was, like, one robot chicken thing where power converters were, like, strippers. And, like, Tashi Station was, like, a strip joint.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, you get to see Vader for the first time. That big white ship that they went to at the end of Revenge of the Sith.
Yep.
They're in that. They get boarded on that. I mean, it's just, there's a lot to...
Leia's on that ship.
A lot to take in. Yeah, she's on the ship.
Yeah.
She puts the stuff in R2-D2 and
yep.
sends him off, and they don't think that's weird that a ship that they just, you know...
Commandeered, let
yeah.
a escape pod go full of droids. Super fine.
You know, they're like, well, there's nobody on it, so it's okay. But don't you think that they probably put something in there, you know? I'm sure that guy got fired, right?
Do we know how come she chose Obi-Wan?
I figured because her father knew him.
Yeah, but we don't know.
No, it doesn't say. Well, no, she says in her message, she says, you've served my father in the Clone Wars, is what she said.
Oh, you're right.
And Bail Organa was in Jimmy Schmidt's, played her father.
Right.
In episode 2 and 3.
Yep.
So he didn't know him, you know, in the prequels. They did, like, back that up, I guess.
Yep.
What about the, I mean, well, we have to talk about it, but what about, like, the added stuff of A New Hope? You know, the extra scenes in the Mos Eisley and, like, the Jabba the Hutt scene.
You can't see me, but I'm shaking my head.
Yeah. Well, I watched the original, like, there were a whole lot of, like, tapes that came out about, like, the making of Star Wars, and I bought a bunch of them at various, like, comic book conventions and whatnot.
Sure.
And I saw the original tape, the original scene. It was on there. You know, Jabba was, like, this big dude just wearing, he was, like, a human. He was just wearing this big, like, red robe thing or whatever. And that's why he says, like, you know, Jabba, you're a beautiful human being.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense. And I don't know, it's... I understand, yeah, they're like, oh, well, let's stick in these deleted scenes that we took out, but...
But they didn't need them.
Jabba looks weird, like, he's...
He looks really weird.
The space that they act together is supposed to be from two humans and not, like, a giant slob thing, you know?
He looks all... The proportion of him looks completely wrong.
So it looks
and
like...
And he looks super, like, he's been cut out of a green screen.
Yeah. I always felt like it kind of looked like Han's almost putting his hand, like, through Jabba, too.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, so close to him. And he's pointing his finger at him, but it looks like in real life he would be like sticking his finger into his skin.
Didn't we just get all the information that they give us in the scene directly before that?
Yeah, you do. It's like exactly the same information from the Greedo thing.
Yeah.
Like they say the same thing about him dropping the shipment and like that why Jabba has a price on his head and all that. It's basically repeated dialogue and you don't really need any of it.
It doesn't make sense to me that Jabba wouldn't get some dudes to, like, seize him or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird part.
It's weird that he would send a bunch of bounty hunters after him, and then he would encounter him in real life, and then be like...
Oh, sorry.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. It's you really don't need both of them. All you need is Greedo.
I don't think you need... You just need Greedo. I think that introducing Jabba into it makes it muddy.
Yeah, I really like the, I don't know. I really liked how Jabba the Hutt was talked about and built up for like 2 movies. And then you finally see him at the end.
Yeah, we were talking about that while we were watching it.
I like that you wait. Yeah, I like that you have to wait to see him later. It's kind of weird to show him so quickly. Like the first time you hear Jabba's name and then you see Jabba, it's like.
And then you see him immediately.
I liked it better where it's just like we're going to talk about him through two whole movies. And all of a sudden, shit, Jabba has Han, like in the third one, you know? And then you finally get to see his big, disgusting,
and he's
grossness.
Super gross. He looks super gross and huge and wet and slimy and
He's completely disintegrated.
Gooey and the puppet,
has completely
disintegrated. Now.
Yeah, the Jabba suit, like in the Blu-ray release, there's an extra disc that where you can look at like different props, like in 360 view. And the only thing that it shows for Jabba is his eyes, because that's all that's lasted. Because the rest of his suit has disintegrated.
I'm sure it was like a painted foam, a really porous foam.
Well, there were like, I think there were like 3 people in it. Like there was one person with one arm and the other person was another arm. The other person was operating the mouth.
A Boon Raku.
And the
A
three
person
eyes,
puppet.
You know? I think they had 3 people in there.
Yeah, I totally believe it.
It looked like a very intense, you know, thing.
Right. But I'm sure on the inside, it was just painted foam with wires and sticks.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look like too light, I guess, if you look at the movie. Like, whatever they use for his face, I don't think it looks like see-through or, I don't know. Like,
well,
it's
foam
a thin,
isn't see-through.
Like, it's a thin fabric.
No. I think it's carved out of foam.
But I think there's something over it, because there's, like, the skin texture.
Yeah, maybe.
I think some sort of thing over the foam. I don't know exactly what it is, but yeah. Whatever can disintegrate in, like, 20 years, I guess,
sure.
is what...
Well, that I guess was, almost anything. I mean, like, where was it? Was were they trying to keep it safe? We don't know. Was it just, like, in a box in an un-air-conditioned warehouse somewhere?
I mean, I know they try to preserve, like, from what I heard, like, Lucas tries to hold on to, like, everything.
Well, you're right about
in case
that.
You ever need to, I mean, he's still of the opinion that he's like, oh, I might have to, like, reshoot this even later. You know, he keeps, like, everything that they ever did.
Yeah.
And that one, I guess, however they had it stored, it just disintegrated. But yeah, I mean, Star Wars, that the Star Wars A New Hope, like, that one is, like, so self-contained.
Because they were, like, prepared.
Yeah, well, there was, I mentioned it before, but there was this book called Splinter in the Mind's Eye, or Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which was based off of a script that was written to be the second Star Wars movie, in case they didn't make any money. It was a very low budget script that took place in one.
You said it was in one location.
It was in one location. Darth Vader's in it. Han and Chewie aren't in it, but Luke and Leia run into him, and you know, I've read the comic book version of it. Not really much happens in it, but it's just kind of like, I think Vader gets killed in it. I don't know.
I remember. We probably watched a documentary about it at some point, but. I remember George Lucas saying, like, no, we did not know if anybody was going to come see this. Like, we were just not sure. And he went out to dinner mm-hmm. with his wife on opening night, and they passed a theater. And it was just a line mm-hmm. out the door for people who were lining up to see this movie.
Yeah.
And then he was like, it's a hit.
Yeah.
Champagne, you know.
Well, you heard about that... You've heard about that, like, agreement with Spielberg, right, that they did? Where, like, Lucas was, like, so unsure of Star Wars that he bet, like, Spielberg 1% of Close Encounters of the Third Kind versus, like, 1% of Star Wars.
Oh, really?
And he's like, well, how about this? Like, I'll give you 1% of the profits of Star Wars if you give me 1% of the profits of Close Encounters, because I think you're going to make the better movie, and I think mine's going to flop. And I guess apparently, like, Spielberg made like $1 million off of 1% of Star Wars from that bet. Yeah, and Lucas probably didn't make anything because I don't know. I mean, Close Encounters is not a bad movie, but I don't think it by no means made as much as Star Wars did. You know,
no.
But that's how unsure of himself he was. I mean, I've watched documentary stuff that, like, the cast, like, made fun of him. Like, they thought it was a dumb thing, you know, they had no faith in it, you know?
It was because it was something completely different.
Because it was completely out there. I mean, can you imagine Lucas, like, trying to explain this to somebody, like, before he had, like, any sort of funding for it, or even, like, explaining it to anyone and be like, well, you know, what's this? Since there's a story about this big carpet and this, you know, and this guy, and then they got lights, light swords, and there's a giant ball that destroys planets, but we're going to blow that up later in the movie, you know?
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Give me all your money.
I mean, I'm sure that was... I mean, I've read the...
Well, I think just doing all the masks and doing all of the, like, making all of the puppets, and it's just a lot of work to go into something you just don't know.
I read somewhere that... that he originally wanted to make, like, Flash Gordon. Do you want to make, like, a Flash Gordon movie? And since he wasn't able to do that, he made Star Wars, yeah.
Wow.
Because I think that's what he originally wanted, because I believe those, like, the crawl, the original crawl with the words and all that, I think that was taken from, like, Flash Gordon serial stuff.
Oh.
I think they did a similar thing, I believe.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. But he originally wanted to do that, and he ended up doing Star Wars stuff, but... I think I might have mentioned in the last podcast, but I read the comic book called The Star Wars, which was based off of his original screenplay.
Yeah.
And didn't I mention that? And it's when, like, Han Solo was a lizard, and it was like,
and Chewbacca was
Anakin,
a fish person.
I don't think Chewbacca was in it.
Oh.
Like, Anakin's, like, one of the main characters, and, like, it's like Starkiller instead of Skywalker. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, like, awful. It's, like, it's very much like Episode One with a lot of, like, a lot of politics and kid actors and a lot of just
rough stuff.
Too much, you know, trade federations and senates and stuff like that. Even though in A New Hope they mentioned the Senate and they mentioned the Jedis and all that, which I thought was pretty cool. Like, the first time I watched, like, it was before Episode 3 came out. I watched 1 and 2 and 4, 5, and 6. And it was, Yeah, they did. You know, they talk about it. They talk about how the Senate's pretty much gone. Grand Moff Tarkin does. Peter Cushing, who was another big horror movie star. He was Victor Frankenstein in all the Hammer Frankenstein movies. And David Prowse played one of the monsters for one of the Frankenstein movies. Also, the guy who wore the Darth Vader suit.
Yeah, you said that.
He's a big guy, but. But when they're talking about that, he talks about, you know, and then Leia says it too, where she's like, well, what do they say in the Senate? And I guess this could have been stuff they were just throwing around at the time, but they got to it, you know. Luke asks about the Clone Wars, you know.
Sure.
They know anything about the Clone Wars, and 3PO's like, well, I'm not a good storyteller. But then he disproves himself later when he does tell stories.
He does tell the story.
He does a lot of things where he says, like, I can't do something, and then he does something, because he's like, it's against my programming to impersonate a deity, and then he does impersonate a deity later.
Yeah,
when he tells them that he will like use his magic powers if they don't release them, you know. Yeah. So yeah, some pretty cool. I mean, that, you know, all the models that they used for the Death Star and for the '70s, like, that was pretty. I know that was huge stuff. You know.
Yeah. Some great models, some really great paintings in the background.
Yeah, lots of cool paintings for the Death Star, and and I think in a lot of the hangars also, like the vehicle hangars.
Yes, a lot of that is painted.
Use a lot of paintings
drops,
for that.
Which you will never see again. We'll never see anything like that.
Unless they use it in the new movie, I mean, there might be some paintings. I don't know.
I just can't imagine it.
Like, whenever we
be so much more expensive.
Whenever we record our spoiler cast on this is Force Awakens, which will probably be next week at some point. It's just going to be weird. We're just going to know all this more stuff that we knew. And we're either going to be, like, really angry or really happy. I mean, we'll see.
Or some mix of both.
Know? Or a mix of both. I don't know. It's just a great time to be, like, just on, like I said before, on the cusp of this new generation of Star Wars. And we're about to realize that we'll probably be dead before we ever figure out what happens in the whole story. Right?
Maybe so. I mean, maybe.
Until they run out of money, right?
Yeah.
I remember when the Force Awakens title first came out, we're like, this is what it's going to be called. I always thought it should be called Star Wars Episode 7. You'll be sick of this in like 10 years. That will be the title of it.
The Force Awakens is not a good title.
It's not. But neither's like Attack of the Clones, you know?
No.
I liked Revenge of the Sith because that was a play on an old thing. Because, you know, the Return of the Jedi was originally going to be called Revenge of the Jedi.
I did, yeah.
And they thought that sounded too, like, violent for Jedi, so they changed it to Return of the Jedi. So I thought Revenge of the Sith was a cool name because it was a callback to that.
Right.
To the old Revenge of the Jedi posters and all that they had out. So. But Phantom Menace is a dumb
Ooh,
thing.
Yeah, really bad.
But The Force Awakens is like, the Force was asleep for, like,
it was
years,
super asleep,
I guess.
For the last 20, 18, 17, however old the kids are.
I don't want to get too much into speculation of that movie, but, you know, that I've heard things that say that maybe it becomes more, I guess it's in more people than just the Skywalkers at that point, and that's what they mean by
you've
that.
You've never seen Buffy, right? You've never seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show?
I've seen some of it, but not all of it. Do they have an awakening in that, too?
They really do, in the seventh season.
Is it the end where they have, like, the Slayers?
Yeah.
The Slayers?
Where all the Slayers wake up.
I've heard talk of it, yeah.
It's super
amazing.
Isn't
that, like, the last episode?
It's either the second to last. It's right there at the end, or it's in the last episode.
Yeah, where they become their Slayers other than Buffy, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
They have this. They find this all-powerful Slayer weapon, and Willow taps into it and sort of releases the power so that all the Slayers, all the potential Slayers, now have that potential recognized in them.
Sure.
So it is an awakening. Mm. So maybe it'll be like that, and actually that would be really cool.
And just because there might be some confusion later, that's Buffy Willow, not the guy who plays Willow who plays the Ewok Wicket, which I'm sure we'll mention at some point.
Yes.
Two different Willows in the same... In the same podcast, just for, you know, so you know.
Just in case
which
we
one's
call,
which.
Yeah, Warwick. Willow.
Warwick Davis, yeah.
Yeah.
Willow. Well, we might. I don't know.
I don't know.
So,
But that's maybe... Willow and Allison Hannigan. Willow.
Oh, yeah, sure. But, I mean, I was thinking of one or the other. So do you think we covered A New Hope enough? I mean, there's so much
to
it.
I think we did. Let's move forward. For how much of an impact it made. If we have to, we can mention some things if we get forward, and then we have to go
backwards. Well, it made such an impact at the time. I want to make sure that
we impacted
cover
it.
All of it. There's the trash scene, which I always thought that Luke would get killed in that.
Yeah,
because he's the only one that doesn't
get on
top
of
it.
There's a lot of trash in there, and I think it's going to have to... It would be a lot higher on the walls,
But that part is... I mean, I think that part is funny where they're happy and they're yelling and 3PO thinks they're dead.
Yeah.
And the stormtroopers find them in the special listening room.
Yeah.
It's like that room that's basically filled with red speakers. If you see it again, look at the little closet they're in. It's like one of those, where you can go in there and listen to a CD that
you
haven't bought yet.
Well, you don't have to put the headphones on, but yeah.
You don't have to because there's speakers on the wall.
Tons of speakers on the wall.
You just go in there and you live the music. You just live it. Just go in there and you can just rock out to Max Rebo's Greatest Hits, or I guess it'd be Jizz Whalers then.
Do shoot up, do 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 bow.
Well, yeah, that's a new one.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could rock out to the Jizz Whalers, the guys from the Cantina,
Yep.
They had some hot tracks.
Do you
want to
sing that one?
I don't think it has any. It doesn't have any lyrics. It's just the that song.
Yeah.
The only thing I was thinking of was the second one that goes like na 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 na.
Yep.
But then there's the course that na 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 na. Yeah. But yeah. What I was thinking about, we were watching Rebels the other day, and they have like a similar ship to the Falcon, and they have like one of those little chess sets too. Do you think that was issued with like every ship? Like
in that
time?
Issue.
You get the little 3D chess thing, which they were like watching, they were looking at like 3D maps of planets and stuff on top of it. That it somehow projected that also?
Maybe it's not actually a chess set. Maybe it is a projector and it has, like, apps.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
I just thought it was funny that they have that. Because there's the, the whole, like, let the Wookiee win. And, Wookiees pull people's arms out of their sockets when they lose and all that.
Yeah.
Which was a funny thing for, like, Lego Star Wars when you played as Chewie. He would pull the arms out. Yeah.
Very funny.
In the Super Star Wars game... They were very much about making bosses out of everything, and they made a boss out of that green guy with the vest.
Oh yeah,
that picks up the other dude and drops him from the game. You also have to fight the you also have to fight the tractor beam in the Death Star, which I thought was funny,
hilarious.
And in Empire Strikes Back, you fight the you also fight the carbonite freezing chamber with Han Solo.
Yes, how do you fight carbonite?
It's
freezing.
Just the big thing that comes up and down and shoots you, and you shoot it until it dies.
Oh,
it's right. Everything's very,
I imagined you were in the chamber, and you somehow had to fight off gas.
Well, it, like, freezes you, and you have to bounce out of the freezing, and then you keep shooting. It's silly, but I like those games. They were fun. And you get to fight the Emperor as Luke, which doesn't actually happen, but they alter it enough. It's Super Star Wars, so they basically make everything into a boss.
Super.
You fight a giant Womp Rat also in the first one.
Oh, sure, why not?
So, you get to see, like, a mutant one. You see the little ones that he bullseyed when he was a kid, but then the big ones also. Some cool Mode 7 on that. But on to the best one of all of them, The Empire Strikes Back, which...
The best one.
When I was a kid, I remember, like... I think I probably watched the original Star Wars a bunch of times, maybe before I got to Empire and Return, because I remember being incredibly emotionally attached to the characters. And, like, crying my eyes out when, like, Han Solo was frozen and Luke lost his hand and all that.
Oh.
And I, like, bawled when Luke, like, was shocked in Return. Like, even if that one's has a better ending, but I was still, like, sad of him being tortured and all that.
Well, when he lost his hand, I remember being just floored.
Yeah.
You know?
Didn't expect that?
No. And then, is he gonna live? Like, I didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, like, or Han, too, with him getting frozen and then taken away to Jabba.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, I know it was improvised, but when Leia says, I love you.
Yeah.
And then he's just Han. He's so Han in that moment.
Yeah.
I know.
And they were, and like, a lot of people forget that in Return of the Jedi, they reversed that. where she, like, you know, they're about to get shot by the stormtroopers,
yeah, we
and she
about
has
that.
The she has the
her hidden gun.
She has a hidden gun, and he says, "I love you," and she says, "I know," and I know, and then she kills two stormtroopers. Like you were saying, like you see the other one, I love you, I know, like
you can
almost
buy
everywhere.
You can buy a towel, you can buy a dish set, you can buy a bedspread. You can buy anything you can think of with Han, with Leia saying "I love you" and Han saying "I know" on it, but they don't have any with the other way around, which I would like. That's what if I needed some dish towels or something with those things printed on it, I'd want it the other way.
Well, I think that some of them just say those words; it doesn't say like who said it. But it'd be nice to see some the other way around, like from Return, because I think people forget about that.
Yeah,
forget about that.
It's a really nice reciprocation.
They say it both ways, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I necessarily understood like how much I liked Empire Strikes Back until like later, until I was like in high school, until I realized like how. I mean, it's just like the Empire like pretty much wins, I guess, for the most part, you know. They push them out of their base in the beginning. You know, they're running from them through most of the movie. I mean, Han Solo's pretty much running from the Star Destroyer.
Yeah, they start off in Hoth,
trying to get away from them.
It's like freezing and they get caught.
I hope that, I mean, it's hard, it's like a really hard act to follow, but they just have like so many iconic like fights in Star Wars that you see in like everything.
Yeah.
Like the Battle of Hoth is one of them for sure. Like even like the asteroid belt to a point, I think.
They go to the asteroid field. The big sandworm thing.
And the Death Star, of course, like Death Star 1 and 2. And, like, the speeder bikes. That's, like, something you'll see in, like, multiple video games.
Yeah.
Even, like, the new Star Wars Battle Pod, which has, like, the wind that blows on you when you're going through, which only makes sense for the speeder bike level, but whatever. But, yeah, you see those levels. You see, like, you saw it in, like, Star Wars Trilogy also, and, like, Rogue Squadron, and, like, a bunch of those, like, vehicle-based games. You're always going to see like, Death Star and the Battle of Hoth, and, like, the speeder bikes, and, like, sometimes the asteroid field also, but I hope there's something in the new one that is, you know, I haven't seen much of, like, space battles. I saw some cool, like, Millennium Falcon flying on the surface and a couple speeder bikes.
I would have been happy not to see any trailers at all.
Yeah. I always wanted to do that, but it's hard to. I mean, I've been staying away from all of the...
It's hard, but I've tried not to, like, memorize the trailer. You know what I mean? I'm, like, watching it, okay, and there's people in it, and Han says, "We're home," and he also says, like, "It's all true," and that's all...
That was a later trailer, but yeah.
That's all...
Sure.
That's all I've held on to from those...
Yeah.
From both trailers. I'm like, I'm not going to be the black guys in the sand. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't want to know anything else.
He's in the sand, he's upset. I mean,
I think it's going to start there. Good.
I've known people who yeah, they never watch any trailers, which is like really hard because they're everywhere, especially with like Facebook and crap like that. Now it's on everything.
Yeah, just leave Facebook.
But I know there's been some TV spots that have revealing stuff in it, which I haven't watched.
Nope, I haven't watched a one of them, thank God.
But supposedly there's some line in a Chinese one that I don't know what it is. I don't need to know. I'm at the point right now where it's too close that I don't want to see anything about it. Like, I don't even want to read. I'm sure there might be a couple reviews out because I think it premiered, like, for sure, like, last night, right? Like, on Monday night, I think it was their official premiere.
Oh, was it?
Like, before. Like, the Hollywood Boulevard stuff.
Oh, whatever, yeah,
like,
no.
The press. I think the official press premiere was,
Facebook
like, Monday.
Until...
But
I don't
want to
open
wait.
Facebook ever again.
Yeah, I wanted to wait to see.
Definitely not opening. Sorry.
Yeah.
You'll have to do the sharing of this podcast.
But after we're done, that'll be that. So let's talk. We'll talk about that more later. But Empire, you know, those awesome foam ice walls in the Hoth system.
Yep, carved out foam. They look great, though. I mean, it looks great. I feel like we could, you know, if it were nowadays, we'd have a bunch more, like, breath. You'd see a lot more breath and breathing.
Yeah, you don't see it. You see breath from the Tauntauns.
Yeah, but when they're in,
I still think it's pretty fake things,
cold inside, in those walls and stuff.
Yeah, you see more breath outside than inside.
Which is reasonable. I do remember as a kid when Han cut open that Tauntaun and all of its gross wormy gut spilled out, like, still makes me want to puke.
It's gross.
It still makes me want to puke
Those balloons, like those circus balloons and... I always thought it was like a mixture of like cottage cheese and circus balloons.
Oh, yeah. It looks like condoms. Condoms.
Yeah. Well, like the long circus balloons that you make into dogs and stuff.
Yeah, I just thought that because they're kind of
like that.
Milky looking.
Yeah, ugh. It's gross. But there's a really, really cool stop motion on that, like from the Tauntauns moving around, and their tails look really cool. The Luke's Tauntaun's like missing half of a horn. They never really explain like why that is. I don't know.
You got in a fight, man.
I guess before.
These are fighting Tauntauns.
He like wrestled with another Tauntaun.
Yeah, maybe.
It's kind of weird that a Tauntaun like the Tauntaun like dies from freezing to death, even though it like lives on that planet, right? When Han goes there and his Tauntaun dies of cold.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and I'm thinking about it. And
or do they normally hang out in caves?
Yeah, maybe they don't fucking go out in the middle of the night in -1,000.
Yeah.
Maybe they just don't normally do that.
They don't. Yeah. I don't know. There's the Wampa. There's that added... There's some added stuff in Empire, but thankfully they didn't mess with that as much. I think all they really did was put like more stuff with the Wampa that attacks Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure you know, but they added that because of his car wreck that he was in between movies, because it had some facial reconstruction. So they added that scene to explain why his face looked different from the last movie.
Yeah, so he could get beat up.
Yeah, but they do, they show more of the Wampa in the new one. And
yeah, I just remember his arm flying across the screen when Luke cuts it off.
Yeah.
Which was terrifying.
I think you only see the side of him walking, like, while he's frozen upside down. And once again, from playing the Super Empire Strikes Back Star Wars game, the Wampa had, like, freeze breath, so I figured that was how he froze him to the ceiling.
Of course, yeah.
He just breathed on his feet and they froze him to the ceiling.
What I don't understand, actually, is how Luke cut himself out.
Oh, yeah.
Because he just goes, like, foomp, he just, like, runs the lightsaber. Yeah, he grabs it and just kind of goes in front. And that works.
His feet would still be frozen, but I don't know. Maybe he, like, held his lightsaber by his feet until it melted the ice. I don't know. Probably not.
We're just giving him a little bit there. That's fine.
Yeah, sure.
He got out of it.
All right.
He cut off that Yeti's arm. He ran away.
Yeah. There's that other part where he's eating the animal
while he's frozen, like slimy,
and you see the blood coming out of his mouth.
Blood,
pretty cool.
Drool.
That was added also.
Super gross.
And there's those great like. There's the really great like. There's a lot of good chemistry, I think, through these characters, like more than any of the other ones, you know.
Especially between the Wampa and Luke.
No, not the Wampa. I was talking about on Hoth and like Han and Leia and Chewie and all them. But yes, the Wampa and Luke, they acted together so well. Even though the Wampa was added much later, he still could feel it.
He really did, yeah. You just saw that performance. And
He's like, okay, I understand. He's frozen, and I'm eating food, but I'm not eating him yet.
And
okay,
I understand.
I understand.
Okay, I'm ready.
I froze his feet, but I'm like, he's like thawing out or something. He's frozen, but he's, I don't know. I never understood the reason that he hangs him upside down, but he doesn't eat him yet. He's just like, save that for later.
Well, just like a spider
does.
He's
too alive. Let's just wait.
It's just like a spider, right? He catches food in the web and he
leaves it there.
He doesn't eat it all the time. Okay, I'm going to eat this fly. It's a week old, so we better eat him. And we'll save that moth for next week.
I'm sure he had a cave. That's probably Tauntauns probably have caves, and that's why they could last longer in the cold. In the cold, right?
Yeah.
I love those parts with just right off the bat, and you get like the full, you know, arguing from Han and Leia.
And you can tell they're super in love, and I love the fact that...
In the ice hallways.
Han knows that Leia has the hots for him, and so...
So he's super arrogant about it.
Yeah, but he also totally has the hots for her. So he tries to kind of trick her or belittle her into admitting that she likes him. Because he's too much of a pansy to just be like, hey, I like you.
Well, that's his style, I guess, is that he's kind of like...
I don't want to say he's too much of a pansy, but he's very macho. He's too macho.
He's like being like sarcastic about it. It's like, oh well, if I just jokingly say that she likes me, then I don't have to worry about getting rejected or hurt or whatever.
So sure,
is what I thought that Han would go to. You know, he's probably just a big teddy bear under there and under his
just a big Ewok
under his nerf herding, and
waiting to be loved.
But I like all their lines about where she's like, I kiss a Wookiee, and he's like, I could use a good kiss.
Yep.
And like the nerf herder, of course.
So he's gonna leave, and then he goes to save Luke.
Looking. Yeah.
And he saves Luke, and they come back.
And they have that real creepy. They have that real creepy kiss, like Leia and Luke do.
It does not look like there's any tongue in there.
They have their incest kiss. Yeah.
So it seems like as you know, I mean, obviously she doesn't like him, and she's just kissing him to make Han.
She's using him, yeah.
Irate.
Right after he got his face destroyed by a Wampa, she's, like, going to fake kiss him.
Yeah.
To make Han jealous. She should have kissed Chewbacca.
She should have kissed Chewbacca. Yeah. I would have liked that much better. Wonder what that was like. Well, he's got lips.
He does, but he's got, like, cat teeth, too. He might gnaw her face off. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No, he hugs Luke, so you could probably kiss him, too.
He's a super hugger. He hugs a lot of people.
Yeah, he does.
Chewie's a hugger.
So yeah, there's the iconic, like I said before, the iconic, the tying of the AT-ATs.
Yep.
Tying them up with the tow cables, and Dak doesn't last very long in the back of him.
No, sadly no. Yeah. But that does seem like a really good way to get those AT-ATs to fall down.
I don't know if it's I don't know. I like, you know how like they leave and they shoot the ion cannons at the ships and they knock the ships out of the way or whatever. They all like leave at the same time.
Yeah.
But when Luke leaves, there's like nothing there. Does he like exit from a different part of the planet? That's what I always thought. Because like when he comes out, there's no ships out there.
Right.
Because he's going to Dagobah. Does he leave from like the South Pole? Because that's closer to Dagobah.
Well, maybe he just flies around on the surface of the planet.
Yeah.
The other direction.
I always wondered about that, where you just like,
yeah,
they, because like Han goes like right into it, you know,
yeah,
and somehow the other, well, they get out because they have hyperdrive.
Yeah, they can jump,
and he doesn't have hyperdrive. Like this whole movie is like Han's fight with hyperdrive. Like you never knew how important hyperdrive was until you saw Empire Strikes Back. Because that's like the whole movie: no hyperdrive. You know, we're basically running from the Imperials, and that's basically the rest of it for them. Until, like, they find Lando, and Lando betrays them and all that.
Yeah. Kind of half-betrays them.
Sure. Yeah, well, he like...
He gives them up, but then he's on their team.
Well, he thinks... It seems like he thinks that it's going to be a little better, and then Vader keeps changing it. Because he originally was going to give him Han, and then they were going to stay in Cloud City with him. And then Vader's like, oh, well, you're going to give him to me. And he's like, well, no. And he's like, well, we didn't agree to that. And he's like, well, I'm going to change it, and you have to deal with it. So then Han, like, you know, he's like, gets, you know, he has Lobot and his buddies, like, get rid of their stormtrooper rifles and all that so they can get back. But Yoda, man, I don't know what happened to him between, like, episode 3 and 4.
He lost his marbles,
He got real wacky. I mean, well, he lives on a planet by himself.
With just the Force ghosts?
Just speaking to Force ghosts.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he's just talking to Qui-Gon. That's like the only one they have. It's just him and Liam Neeson just shooting the shit for like 20 years. So, I don't know. That might have made him crazy.
Well, and then Obi-Wan shows up. Are all the Force ghosts of all time on that planet? Because it's supposed to be a planet that's like full of the Force.
Yeah, well, there's that.
So do all Force ghosts have the ability to, like, is this kind of where they live, I wonder?
I don't know. And there's that weird cave also. Well, there's the cave, you know, the cave part where he fights Vader.
Yeah,
the Cave of Wonders,
yeah.
And he sees himself as Vader.
It's like a fortune-telling cave,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he says, like, it's only whatever's in there is only what you take with you.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, he says, like, don't take your weapons, but he does, and then you can see the nice little foreshadowing thing of him.
Him is Vader, his father.
Which I think my mom described that too, probably. Because
I think it was a really long time.
I may have not been able to figure that out when I was a kid. Like,
I think it was a real. I think I was probably 14 before I was like. Oh.
It's kind of a weird shot too, of like the way it's framed of his face, where I'm kind of like, who's that guy? I'm like, oh wait, no, that's him. You know.
But as a kid, I just I couldn't get there.
I'm just like, oh, they fight and they fight again. I think a lot of, I don't know.
It's not him, it's his dad. You know, I don't know.
Oh, sure, yeah. I remember when I was a kid watching, like, Back to the Future with my friends when I was younger, and how many times I had to explain to them that they went back in time, not forward in time. Because they didn't understand, because they're like, no, it's a bit, they went to the future. I'm like, no, they went to the 50s, and then they had to go forward
back
to 1985. Back to the
future.
Yeah. That's where they went, Back to the Future. Like, no, I'm like, no, you don't understand this, I guess.
Well, in all of them, they go back in time.
Well, Back to the Future 2, they don't. They go forward in Back to the Future 2.
Oh, they do go to the future.
Yeah. But I don't know if that one was even out yet. I think it was just we were just watching.
But in
the
third
first
one, they go back in time.
Yeah. Yeah, they go back in time in all of them, except for the second one, which is my favorite one. But
that's for a different podcast.
It's a different thing.
We'll do that.
But yeah, like, you know, kids trying to figure it out, like, who's who, or, you know, whatnot. I know, like, I mean, huge reveal on Bespin with the with Luke. With Luke being Vader's dad. Yeah, Bespin, Cloud City, the same thing.
Yeah.
It's actually called Bespin.
Sure.
In the, whatever, in the comics,
many,
in the books,
they call it. How many people know that, do you think?
I don't know. I think it's a little, I think more people do now than maybe like 20 years ago.
Sure, but I think it's probably still about 40%.
Know that it's called Bespin.
Yeah.
Do you think anybody
Cloud
knows?
Cloud City is like Phoenix.
It's a
city.
Yeah.
It's not.
Bespin.
on the planet of?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Bespin. Maybe Bespin's a planet.
We don't know.
That's just what they call it, yeah. But,
We're in the country region.
I mean, the way planets... I mean, planets are basically like cities in themselves. It's like, we have a planet that has one thing, and that's this,
sure.
You know. But then Cloud City is the only thing we
Camino.
See. Where you see, like, city, you know.
Yeah, it's Camino. Well, Camino's a planet, we know.
Yeah, they're all planets. Like, Cloud City's pretty much a planet, too.
But
it's
not.
Called a city, so I don't know. I figured it was like, I figured it was like, what is it? What's the planet that has the big storm on it? Neptune?
Jupiter.
Or Jupiter. Yeah. I just figured it was like Jupiter, where there's like nowhere to stand on it. So that's why all the planets, all the cities are like in the...
It's all gas.
Yeah, it's all gas, like Jupiter.
Sure.
So what I always thought of what Bespin was.
Saturn, too, I think is like that.
I was going to say, like, people don't know what, probably don't know what Ugnaughts are either. Those are the little guys with the big, like, teeth coming out of their...
I'm sure they don't
know their bottom
they
lips. They're the ones who are, like, trying to throw 3PO away or whatever when Chewie finds him.
Yep.
When he gets shot. But yeah, Luke does, like, a large series of handstands and lifting stuff and all that. I always thought it was really cool.
Ridiculous.
I always thought it was really cool, like, the whole part with the X-Wing, though. Like where he's like,
trying to get it out of the ground, and then
and he's like, "I can't believe it," and he's like, "Well, that is why you fail." And yeah, Yoda
and then
lifts
Yoda
it, and he's
does
like,
it.
"He's too big," and then Yoda lifts it up, and it really shows him up. He brings it out and sets it down, and it's all fine,
complete with snakes.
Yeah, and the do or do not. It's like
words
to
live
by. I
take that with me in my whole everyday life. Do or do not. There is no try. Sometimes when I have a lot of sewing to do before our show. Man, I just feel like I'm never going to get my presets done. I just think, do or do not. There is no try.
There is no try, yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought that the stuff that he's, you know, like when he's all like wacky and playing with his little
Yoda,
flashlight. Yoda, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was testing his patience.
Yeah, I always thought he was testing his patience there.
Well, and that makes perfect sense because later he says, I can't teach him, he has no patience.
Yeah, when he busts out of his... craziness, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh yeah, then he can speak to Obi-Wan and all that, and he's like, he's not ready. But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but that was a cool introduction of him, you know.
That's one of the like earliest memories from Star Wars I have
was Yoda.
Dagobah, yeah, is the swamp planet.
Was Yoda and his weird,
I think because I just didn't understand really what was going on.
Happening. Yeah, he didn't know his training and all that.
Just, here was this crazy puppet. He was so cool.
Yeah.
Then Luke is upside down. Then he goes into a cave. And he...
I think he goes in the cave before he's upside down. But it's like, yeah, it's all of that. Like,
yeah.
He's like, you know, stacking stones on top of each other and... doing flips with this puppet on his back, and
yeah,
you know, which they do all like far away shots, so you can't tell that he's not moving his lips like while he's talking and he's doing flips or whatever.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's Yoda only really teaches him how to stack stones and you know lift ships out of the swamp.
You know,
yeah.
He teaches him the concentration necessary.
Sure.
To harness the Force.
Because it's weird, because he says, like, if you go fight Vader, then you will destroy everything that you worked for. But then, like, he comes back and then return, and then he's like, you're a knight now. You're a Jedi knight now, but you have to defeat your father. But he didn't really do anything. All he did was go and fight Vader and lose. And then build a lightsaber,
I
guess.
But he didn't turn to the dark side.
Sure. Yeah.
So he fought Vader. He came right up against the precipice of evil,
mm-hmm.
And he didn't turn.
Yeah, which I think is like the absolute best lightsaber fight ever. I mean, the newer ones became more complex, I guess, which is cool, but just the way that one shot, like the way, and like the lighting and the gas and the blue and the red and all that. And
he ends up hanging upside down too, right?
In that one?
Is that the fight where he ends up hanging upside down?
For like a second, yeah.
And then
because he falls into the, he's trying to freeze him. Yeah. So he falls into the freezing chamber.
Yeah.
And then he jumps out and he's climbing around on the wires above the freezing chamber.
Yeah.
So he does like a little flip out of that. So he's kind of upset for that.
Yeah.
Upside down for that.
Yeah.
He does like a little, like he falls back and like flips and lands on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pulls the lightsaber back and then they do their thing.
I just, maybe it's a different fight though, because I remember him getting in a lightsaber fight. And him being upside down. Oh, maybe I'm thinking of it after Cloud City.
I don't know of Luke fighting upside down?
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember him being upside down and thinking, oh, it was good that he spent all that time upside down on Dagobah.
Oh, well, with the Wampa, he's upside down.
But that's at the beginning.
Yeah. And he's in the, I mean, yeah, I can't think of another time that he's upside down other than that.
Oh, well.
Except for when he's on those wires.
Listeners, if you can think of what I'm talking about, let us know.
I mean, he's stuck in that snare, in the Ewok snare.
Yeah.
And Endor, but that's about it. But, yeah, I mean, I just liked the way it ended. I guess, like, that ending part, like, with the I Am Your Father, like, I read that they didn't tell. There was a different script that they gave Luke to, like, rehearse with. I read
that too, yeah.
And then, like, when he said I Am Your Father, that was the first time they did that, and they recorded that. Which is pretty awesome. And I've heard rumors that lightsaber in the trailer of the new one, that's the lightsaber that Luke drops. If that is, I hope they explain like how they got it back. Because when he like falls through that pit and lands on the little thing that he goes through and he lands on like the TV antenna that he's like hanging off of, that's when he's hanging upside down.
Yeah,
when he's hanging upside down and calling Leia.
Yep.
That must have been when he gets rescued. He's hanging upside down from the TV. Looks like a TV antenna.
At the bottom of the...
But when he looks down into the clouds, you see this thing fall that looks like his hand, and I always thought that was his hand. Like, otherwise, what else would it have been? Like, some sort of little piece of garbage that was in there?
Yeah, or his lightsaber.
Yeah, but it looks like flesh-colored. It doesn't look like shiny. Like a, you know, like a pale, flesh-colored thing. But I guess they could find... There was this young adult book where they found Darth Vader's glove and lightsaber from Return of the Jedi, and that would have been destroyed with the Death Star, so I don't know. I'm sure they could come up with some sort of way. I mean, maybe there's a worker that was there that got off later, but I don't know.
I don't know.
But anyway, yeah, craziest, like, best ending ever. Really weird part where they, like, stare into space together, like, with the back... And Lando ends up with Han's clothes on for some reason.
It's a super
at the
weird.
Very end of it, which I guess like
maybe he peed himself on.
Since he's a smuggler, he needs to wear smuggler clothes. I guess I don't know. Bespin. Yeah. I like that added part where they add the people reacting to him telling them that the Bespin's owned by the Empire and to get out of there.
Yeah.
That was a little added part where they show like these people in these weird vests with collars that these like silk. Shirts and stop and listen to him say that the whole place is fucked and they need to get out of there.
It gives him a little bit more, I don't know, it just makes him seem less like a turncoat, double-crossing, traitor guy.
Yeah, to like warn everybody like after. Guy. Well, he's gonna, he'll fly the Millennium Falcon and destroy the Death Star and all that later, so.
I know, but we don't know that yet.
Sure. He has to build him back up.
Yeah,
it's like, well, he got suckered into this. He's like, it still makes him look like a jerk, though. He's like, I'll give you Han, but nothing else. He's like, fuck him. He took my ship. You can have him. But everything else is supposed to be, I'll keep Leia and Chewie and my city and all this, you know. We forgot, like, one of the biggest parts of the movie, Boba.
Oh, Boba.
Boba Fett.
We did not talk about everybody's favorite character.
Yeah, big Boba. Like, I was a huge Boba Fett fan. In high school, and I don't think a lot of my friends were, and I don't think we even knew like why we were such a fan of Boba.
I just loved his helmet, man. He just looked cool.
I think it was his helmet and just like how cool he was, and he was the one who defeated Han Solo, I guess, in a way, you know.
Yeah.
And
he did. You get that, followed him, and
you get that nice little introduction of bounty hunters when they call in the meeting, and you see like IG-88 and Bossk and like Forlom and all these other ones that get entire books written about them for no reason, you know.
Yeah.
Dengar also, you see him with the toilet paper wrapped around his head and all that. So yeah, and Boba had followed him, which is such a cool maneuver when they stick to the Star Destroyer.
The trash, they become the trash, and then he's right there.
Yeah, he's with the trash too.
He wasn't fooled for a minute.
No, which is another like
he knew the old trash joke.
It was added, it was added during the special edition, but they changed his voice to the voice of the clones and Django for the newer ones. So there's another guy who's upset for getting cut out of the movie.
Yeah, seriously.
So yeah, at downer note, Han Solo is frozen. Luke lost his hand. Finds out that his father's part of the Empire and all that. Then we run right back into Tatooine in the final. And what was the final Star Wars movie? I guess, well, the final movie was Revenge of the Sith, but now is a whole other timeline on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get the 3PO and R2-D2 coming to the Jabba's palace. You get that great little the eyeball droid that goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. Goodness gracious me.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much Jabba gets a lot of gifts from people there. You know, it's like he's like, here, have my two droids, and then Leia comes in. She's like, here, have Chewbacca. Surprised Lando didn't show up and be like, here, have something else.
Well, he's like a king,
else,
right? You know? I mean, I'm sure he's used to people giving him.
He's supposed to be like the Godfather, sort of, I guess. Yeah, he's like a gangster.
People
you know?
Like owe him fealty or something, you know.
So you bring things to like. So he'll pay attention
so
to you,
look
I guess.
Kindly on you.
Yeah, because yeah, he's yeah. probably like, I'm too busy for
or
your
so
bullshit.
So you can just sleep in his party room.
Yeah, his party
maybe
room where like 30 people sleep on the floor. Like they party
be
a lot.
Part of that party.
I always thought, I remember even like in high school, like in my teenage years, like watching that and being like, man, they just like all, they just sleep on the floor there. That's like some sort of like
got,
slumber party,
they
right?
They just hung out and partied until they all got so hammered.
They just, and I didn't know anything about drinking at that time. I didn't understand like alcohol and all that. I figured they just hung out until they fell asleep, you know, on the
floor.
They
did.
Yeah. And then you get that awesome song that you sang earlier, the Jedi Rocks one.
Rewind it if you want to hear it again.
Yeah, Lapdy Neck was the original one.
Yep.
With Max Rebo.
Yep.
Max Rebo and Sice Noodles.
Sice Noodles.
Who ended up, she was dating Zero from the Clone Wars.
Yeah, Zero is Jabba's nephew or son?
No, they're not related, I don't think. He's just another Hutt.
Oh, he's just another Hutt.
Because there's that nephew from the movie, and it's a little tiny one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
But Zero the Hutt's the purple one that's like sounds like this weird like southern gentleman.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's like, I declare, you know, like that.
Yeah. he's trying to double-cross everybody.
And he gets killed by Sice Noodles in one of the episodes. Spoilers.
She double-crosses.
But, yeah. It's on Netflix. You probably watched it from the last one. All of them, probably. But yeah, you get to see Jabba the Hutt in his grandeur, like we said before, like his big giant slug grossness, eating like live frog-looking creatures. And,
super creepy.
And smoking the shit out of that radioactive green juice that he has.
Yes, the ecto cooler.
And we get a Bib Fortuna, the male Twi'lek with the penis head and the tentacles wrapped around his head.
Well, those are the first. Are those the first Twi'leks we've seen at all?
I believe so, yeah.
I think so, yeah. We get Slave Twi'lek.
You get Slave Twi'lek and Bib Fortuna Twi'lek.
Yeah.
There's also, like, one of those guys that has the wrinkly face and has, like, some little horns on his chin. He's a Weequay. I remember that.
A Weequay.
So whenever I hear somebody talk about Queequeg, I think of
Weequay.
Yeah, the
That's
Weequay.
That's funny.
It was those guys, they had the big spears, and they had wrinkly faces, and they had, like, ponytails. And they were, like, bald. They were on the ship. They were on, like, this...
Was there Mrs. Weequay? Do you remember that Futurama?
Yeah. But I'm sure there's Mrs. Weequays.
Yeah. Somewhere. Great Futurama episode, The Day the Earth Stood Stupid.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, Luke comes there, gets fed to the Rancor, which is awesome. It's like a big puppet Rancor thing.
Super, super great. They make it look so huge, and you said it was just like a little hand puppet.
Well, it's like a thing, like, do you remember, it's the same way they did like Alien. Where they have, like, the puppets, like, with the little... They have the little, you know, hand things.
Arms?
No, these...
Yes, they're sticks.
I forget what they were called. I used to do puppets, and I forget what they were called. But okay. The little metal things that come out to move their arms. But it's like that, but more complicated. They move the legs and the arms.
Yeah.
But it's the same way they did the xenomorphs in Alien.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same sort of thing, where they have the puppet that they move, and then they mix it in with everything else.
Yeah.
So they do that. And they get the Rancor Keeper, which they wrote, like, a whole story about him for, like, whatever reason.
And you can buy his toy.
Well,
they made a toy of him.
Well, yeah, they made it in the '80s. If you have money, you can get.
Yeah, you can.
I had the toy of him. I had the toy with the big swoopty head thing.
You have it still?
Yeah.
Cool.
I have most of the toys I got from, which I forgot to mention. I had the Millennium Falcon, the 79 one, but most of them I got from my sister because she got them before I was born, and then she gave them to me when she was older.
Yep.
And done with toys, but I had the original Millennium Falcon. And it had, like, the removable floor, which they hid in the Death Star, which we didn't mention. We didn't get to that. But it had the removable floor on it. And the only way for them to stand up in the Millennium Falcon with the top on it
was to remove the floor.
Because otherwise their heads would stick out of the...
Wasn't really built to scale.
Out of the ship, which was... No, it wasn't built to scale at all.
Yeah.
But it had the little chessboard in it. And the little 3D chessboard.
Sure.
And I looked online, and they're, like, selling pieces of it for, like, $20 each. Like, you can buy, like, the...
Yeah,
the falling door that crushed Han Solo's foot.
I'm sure people are trying. Like people movie. Had incomplete sets, and they're trying to complete them.
I always figured that'd be a great thing if they ever made another Star Wars movie that people really liked. It's like all the Star Wars stuff that I bought would be worth something again because I think it all stopped being worth stuff from the prequels and all that.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, most people's. Big problem with Return, and my kind of problem too is the teddy bears.
The
teddy bears that defeat the Empire through pure cuteness and somehow throwing rocks and
lots of sticks and logs.
It's like Avatar, which is an awful movie, but I would tell people, you know, it's like it has the Return of the Jedi complex. They're like destroying giant, you know, mechanical things with rocks and twigs, which
and I always
is
like
really.
That.
Really can't.
I never had a problem with it.
You can't like throw a bunch of rocks at a jet and like take it down somehow. But I mean, I guess the
big enough rocks,
the wood, the big wood pieces
you had
work better.
Catapults and trebuchets and
yeah,
you could.
Yeah. And Yoda, you lose Yoda also.
Yeah.
Because when he comes back, he has to tell him that his finished, but he has to go fight Vader again. You find out that Obi-Wan's just a big liar, pretty much. But it's all. It's all from a certain point of view, right?
Yep.
That's his, like, excuse for everything, is he can tell you anything, but it's, you know, it's the truth from a certain point of view.
Yeah, it's not true.
Like, everything. He could say that about anything. I mean, that's justification for lying, basically. It's like, you know, it's, yeah, a certain point of view, it's all right. It's all true, seriously. Sorry, didn't want to tell you. I mean, didn't want you to go into it knowing that it was your father and all that.
Luke finds out that Leia's his sister.
Yeah. Finds that out too from Obi-Wan.
Yep.
Which I read was that they added that originally when he said there was another, Lucas was planning on making another movie with a different character, but he didn't know who it was yet. You know, it wasn't. He's like, well, we'll just throw this in here in case we want to keep doing these, and then maybe we'll throw another, you know, Skywalker or whatever, or whatever character. And in the end, he's like, I don't want to make any more of these. Let's make Leia be the other Skywalker and just. You know, tie it up there, which, you know, it fit to a point. You know, she's royalty, whatever. She's the only other woman in the galaxy other than Mon Mothma, so it's got to be her.
I think it's great. I think it's really good. I'm so glad that, you know, finally we get a lady who can use the fucking Force.
Yeah, which I guess they may not get into that, but hopefully they do at some point. All the comic books did really cool stuff with her becoming a Jedi.
Yeah.
Some going to the dark side and some not, depending. There are these really cool comics called Star Wars Infinities that were basically... The what ifs of the movies were
not related to Disney Infinity.
No. No, this was Dark Horse before.
That was
yeah.
a joke. Oh, it was sure. just making yeah. laugh.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just basically like what if Luke died in the Death Star fight? You know, what happens then? And it's just like three different ones based on the three different movies where different things happen and what they do, and that's really cool. But yeah, Luke goes to ends up with them, they get on the shuttle Tidarium, and they make it to everyone's favorite Ewok planet, which was originally going to be called, which, back to what we forgot to talk about episode 3, Endor was originally going to be Kashyyyk. It was going to be the Chewie planet. It was originally going to be the Wookiee planet.
Oh, yeah, but they couldn't... What was wrong? They thought it would be too easy because they had guns and stuff.
No, Lucas was like... He said that he wanted it to be a primitive planet.
Yeah, and they were...
And he realized that...
planes.
But Chewbacca was too smart.
Fix all this stuff and...
He was too smart because he was... Because he was, like, building the Falcon and, like... Yeah, he had those protective glasses on when he was welding.
Yeah.
He was smart enough to put that on. Yeah, and he could fly and he could do all this stuff.
Yeah, and he was, like, up in there when C-3PO said to Han, like, I think we need to change the negative power coupling. And then Chewie's the one who actually does that.
Yeah, he's in there fixing the Falcon. He puts Chewie, he puts 3PO back together to a point with the backwards head, which I had that toy.
Yeah.
They had the 3PO toy where you could take it apart and put it in a little black bag and put it around.
Put it on Chewie's back.
Hilarious. Which I thought was pretty cool.
He looks so funny with his legs sticking out like that.
Yeah. They did the same thing with the trap. When Chewie found the dead animal that got him caught in that big rope trap and they had their legs.
Yeah.
I had a pop-up book when I was a kid that had... We'd, like, move the pages, that little trap would, like, swing back and forth, the rope trap that they were stuck in.
Oh, that's kind of creepy, actually.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, you'd, like, open it and it'd be, like, it would move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary.
But then we have Leia meets Wicket and, you know, gets him to be her friend from some sort of weird space candy bar.
Granola bar.
And 3PO ends up being some sort of golden god thing. And then he impersonates Dady after that, but...
Yeah.
You know, they become buddies. They tell the story of the Empire. Luke goes to meet...
They're part of the tribe, and then they decide they're going to fight.
Yeah. When I remember the first time I saw Luke in the elevator of Endor, I always thought that he was already on the Death Star. I didn't realize, because there's, like, all these trees, like, through the windows, but I couldn't really see that.
Yeah.
I always thought once he got to that elevator, he was already there, which I guess... Yeah, I didn't figure out that they, you know, he has to get on the shuttle, which they don't really show that, thankfully.
No.
They show Vader coming home on Empire Strikes Back as an added thing, which doesn't make any sense.
No, we don't need to see that.
But you get the introduction of Ian McDiarmid the first time, the third one.
Yeah.
Well, he was also, I forgot to mention, he was also, I added an Empire, which, you know, was cool, because the original picture was like, I think it was Rick McCollum's wife wearing a mask face type thing.
Yeah.
To be the original Emperor. So it was like, didn't really look like him at all in the original Empire. So they reshot that and put him in there. I mean, his face looks much bigger than it does in the original
one. Yeah, I'm sure it does.
But you see him and he's like super tiny and wrinkly and he's got his cane and, you know, his
hood.
Hood and whatnot. He's pretty cool. He's got his electric fingers.
Yep, he does.
Which I always thought
lightning fingers
looked crazy when it like would the electricity would go in between Luke's teeth when he was electrocuted and all that.
Yeah.
That was hard for me to watch when I was a kid too. Was him getting shocked, you know? But Vader wins the day by throwing the Emperor through that vacuum pit is.
Yeah, I don't know what that thing is, but
and they
it's
added,
a long way down, and it seems hot or cold at the bottom. Yeah.
And they added the no again. The no! from the,
to
from
bring
the,
it all back
they
around.
They put it back in there, which I thought was weird, but I don't know, I guess I'm okay with it now.
Whatever.
But you thought what was really freaky was seeing a skeleton. Like when
Yeah,
really
I remember
shocked,
being a child and also still as an adult that when he was lifting the Emperor over the banister... You could see the lightning go through, and you could see a skeleton through his, like, helmet, through his Darth Vader helmet, and so scary.
And I guess that's what killed him, right?
The lightning? Somehow, him
getting, like, attacked by Luke after he said that he's going to go after his sister, like, Luke does the rage fight, where he goes after him and, you know, basically beats him until he cuts his arm off. And then he gets shocked again, and then he's pretty much dead after that, because he takes his helmet off, and he's like, oh, you'll die if you take your helmet off.
I always thought that he got shocked and that, like, fried out his circuits or something.
Yeah.
Because he's all robot.
Well, and then he pulls him, somehow drags him to that ship.
Yeah, with nobody looking at them or helping them.
Well, I think everybody else is just trying to get off the Death Star.
I guess so.
I don't think they care. But yeah, and then he's like, take my helmet off, and he's like, you'll die, and he's like, well, I'm gonna die anyway. Well, because he starts doing that wheezy breathing, like after
he's a wheezy breezer.
Yeah, after he gets lightsabered so much, he starts doing the wheezy. And you know, he gets out, and his face they burn him on Andor and all that, and you can see special edition Hayden Christensen in there.
There he is. He shows right up.
Yeah, there was originally...
I was really unhappy about that.
Well, there was originally three people to play Darth Vader in that movie, and now there's four.
Yep.
Because they added a fourth one. Yeah, I think a lot of people were upset about that, because they didn't have that old gray Anakin that I was talking about earlier, the toy that I got.
Yeah.
He does not exist anymore. Now he's young Anakin. He got special editioned. I'm sure they hated it that he's young and they're old.
I'm sure, yeah.
Like, what? They're like, what, man? Come
Yoda's
on.
Yoda's like, I'm like 700. Why are you like 20? That's not fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess Lucas said later that his humanity died when he became Vader or whatever. But, yeah. And then there's like a bunch of fights with rocks being thrown at AT-STs and stormtroopers and all that. And they somehow destroy the shield and, you know, and it's a trap and...
Everybody, it's a trap.
And they destroy the Death Star.
They destroy the shield, which is in a completely other place from where the mechanism that controls the shield.
The mechanism is on the planet, I guess, so they have a shield bouncing. It's
no,
all
the
weird.
Shield's on the planet, too.
Yeah, the shield's on the planet. It's projecting it
because
onto the Death
Star. Because when
it
blows up, everybody would be dead.
Yeah, wherever they go
it's
to turn
a big
it off.
Explosion.
It's not by that big giant, like... the big giant
dish.
Cable antenna thing that they have, yeah.
It's nowhere near there.
Yeah. And they make it out, and Yub Yub, which Yub Nub, or Yub Yub, Yub Nub, whatever it is. Yub Nub was cut, yeah, to show. So we could add some Gungans in there.
Yep.
Put a little episode one in your episode six, which is not what anybody wanted, but, you know.
No, I like seeing everybody celebrate.
And I like that song, too. I like that new song. I thought the Yub Nub thing at the end was a little weird. It was a little corny, I guess, but I don't know. How did you feel about it?
It was corny, but I liked it.
Yeah.
It was part of my childhood.
Sure. And they gave like, the Ewoks pupils, and they can blink now on the special edition.
Mm-hmm.
And all that,
yeah.
Which I was fine with that. It's like...
That's okay.
They made the
that's
Gorn.
Seriously
they made
okay.
the Gorn blink in Star Trek also, but yeah, that's pretty much... I mean, that's pretty much our run-through of the... original series there, you know, in like a little over an hour. Is there anything that we missed? I mean, anything very important that
I'm sure we missed a lot
you remember?
Of things, but here's what I think is so great about these movies. I don't remember them as individual movies. I remember them as a story.
Sure.
I remember the whole story of Star Wars.
Yeah. Did you watch all of them together enough that you couldn't remember which one happened in which movie?
Well, that's pretty much still
before?
True.
Yeah.
I still get confused. I mean, like, I know that Hoth is in the middle.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm never sure, like, I have to really think about what happened in each movie.
Sure.
To get them separated.
Yeah.
But because I just think of it as one story.
Mm-hmm.
One really great, beautiful,
yeah.
awesome, flawed story.
Yeah. And then now they're capitalizing on that as we head into this next generation of Star Wars, where they're just going to take it and see where they can go with it, which is pretty cool. Now we'll be talking about this for like the next like 20 years or whatever, because there's going to be one like every year.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be go until we absolutely hate it and the stuff's
making
money.
I think we're
going to
get some really cool toys out of it.
But it might be really, really cool, too. Well, it's going to be like the Marvel movies, right? Hopefully. You know, the interconnected.
Well, that's what it makes
that.
Me think
yeah.
of. I mean, it's so great because, you know, when people our age were kids, we were watching this, we were reading comics, mm-hmm. and now that we're grown-ups, or some people are grown-ups, they
yeah.
have enough money to make movies about
sure.
the things they loved when they were kids.
Yeah.
That's why we're getting all this return to everything that happened
yeah.
when we were younger.
Well, yeah.
But hopefully, I mean, yeah. I think that comic book movies have been awesome for
yeah.
the most part.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
at least 70% of them have been super excellent. So
yeah.
hopefully we just continue on that trend of making things from our childhood come alive again.
Sure. And hopefully the next one's good.
You know? I hope so.
Right? Yeah. Well, you'll hear from us next week for sure, like about what we thought of the new one. And it's very exciting. We'll give you a full-on Force Awakens spoiler cast. I think there's going to be like 100 of them happening like this week or next weekend. So
yeah, but none with Jess and Trey.
But none with us. But yeah, this is Trey Johnson and
Jess Kenyon,
and we're out. May the Force be with you on the 18th when the movie comes out.
Yub dub, motherfucker.
And yub nub for life.